This is Today in History, March the 18th. On this day in 1766, Britain repealed the Stamp Act of 1765. Also on this day in 1925, the tri-state tornado struck southeastern Missouri, southern Illinois, and southwestern Indiana, resulting in some 700 deaths. In 1937, nearly 300 people, most of them children, were killed in a natural gas explosion at the New London Consolidated School in Rusk County, Texas. On this day in 1948, Adolf Hitler and Benito Mussolini met at the Brenner Pass, where the Italian dictator agreed to join Germany's war against France and Britain. Also on this day in 1959, President Dwight D. Eisenhower signed the Hawaii Statehood Bill. On this day in 1963, the U.S. Supreme Court in Gideon v. Wainwright ruled unanimously that state courts were required to provide legal counsel to criminal defendants who could not afford to hire an attorney on their own. On this day in 1965, the first spacewalk took place as Soviet cosmonaut Alexei Leonov went outside his capsule, secured by a tether. Also on this day in 1974, most of the Arab oil-producing nations ended their five-month-old embargo against the United States that had been sparked by American support for Israel in the Yom Kippur War. On this day in 1980, Frank Gotti, the 12-year-old youngest son of mobster John Gotti, was struck and killed by a car driven by John Favara, a neighbor in Queens, New York. The following July, Favara vanished, the apparent victim of a gang hit.
The person that was driving the car,
right,
disappeared.
Correct.
Do you think that was something your father was involved in?
Probably. Knowing John and how he was and how he felt about a lot of things, especially regarding his own children, he probably was. Do I know with certainty? No, I don't know. He'd never discussed that with me. But knowing my father, there's no way you're going to hurt one of his. But I'm hurting you.
On this day in 1990, thieves made off with 13 works of art from the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston.
On March 18, 1990, Anne Holly received news no museum director wants to hear.
I think it was around 8 o'clock in the morning. I was called by the security director here. He told me there had been a theft.
Did you have any idea of how big a theft
No.
it would turn out to be?
No, not until I got into the room.
And on this day, in 1911, Irving Berlin copyrights the biggest pop song of the early 20th century. Before the phonograph had become a common household item, there was already a growing music industry in the United States based not on the sale of recorded musical performances, but on the sale of sheet music. It was in the medium of printed paper and not grooved lacquer or vinyl discs that songs gained popularity in the first two decades of the 20th century. And no song gained greater popularity in that era than Irving Berlin's Alexander's Ragtime Band. Copyrighted on March 18th, 1911. Alexander's Ragtime Band was the multi-million selling smash hit that helped turn American popular music into a major international phenomenon, both culturally and economically. It may seem like a rather grand claim to make about a simple, catchy tune, but then, as now, simple and catchy were great virtues in the realm of pop music. Most people first encountered Alexander's Ragtime Band when it was played on the piano by a friend or family member. This was the way that songs caught on in the era before radio, and part of what helped Alexander catch on was its relative lack of complexity. Though nominally a ragtime tune, anyone who plays the piano would quickly recognize the differences between it and a true rag like Scott Joplin's The Entertainer, which places some fairly significant demands on both the left and right hand. Alexander's Ragtime Band is a vastly simpler piece for an amateur to master, and this greatly encouraged sheet music sales, which topped 1.5 million copies in the first 18 months after its publication. Though it gained worldwide popularity purely as a piece of printed sheet music, innumerable recorded versions of Alexander's Ragtime Band would soon follow, particularly after lyrics were added to what was originally an instrumental tune. Those lyrics, "Come on and hear, come on and hear," and that tune are still familiar a century after they were written. Some of Irving Berlin's later contributions to American popular music, songs like White Christmas, God Bless America, and There's No Business Like Show Business, eclipsed even the massive success of Alexander's ragtime band. It's entirely possible, however, that those 20th century classics would never have been written were it not for the commercial success that Irving Berlin achieved with the song he copyrighted on March 18th, 1911, on this day in history.